Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gators Breakdown. The Gators Fan Podcast, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown Podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. I'll have Blake Alderman on from SWAT 24/7 to go even further into the world of recruiting for the Gators and look ahead to this week's visits, for the final visit weekend before early signing period. And we'll take a look at the early signing period, too, with Blake, and maybe kind of see who he feels really good about the Gators getting as far as his uncommitted prospects going, dive into the whole Lakeland situation again, and see where Blake stands with Zipper and Summerall before they take their trips to Miami. Remember, you can find Gators Breakdown on newsforjacks.com/GatorsBreakdown. There you'll find all the Gators Breakdown episodes as well as articles from the News for Jack sports team. Also listen on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and Spotify. And when using those services, please share, rate, and review the show. And on social media, follow Gators Breakdown on Twitter and Facebook at Gators Breakdown. Blake Alderman from Swamp 24/7 joining me here on Gators Breakdown. Blake, we're coming off the biggest recruiting weekend Mullen has had so far in the early part of his head coaching career at Florida. Big-time targets the Gators are still trying to wrap up going into next week's early signing period. Let's start with the biggest storyline in the Lakeland duo, Keon Zipper, Lloyd Summerall. We all heard the Miami gossip over the weekend, and there was nothing ever really concrete there. The pair had their visits this weekend, and now coming off the visit, some more 24/7 crystal balls started flowing in for the pick to be Florida for these guys. So how did the visit go for these guys? And if you could shed some light on why we've seen the recent rush of crystal balls for the duo, and are they as much of a package deal as everyone thinks?
You know, I think to start off, the visit went really well. These are guys that have been to Florida a lot, living only a couple hours away. So, you know, they already knew what to expect from Florida, but obviously coming back on the official visit, you kind of roll out the red carpet, your family, it's for the family, they bring them over there, they really kind of spell out academics, this, that, and the other for kids. So, I think it was a really good visit for both. I think that Florida has been the odds-on favorite for both for quite a while. I think that here, as we kind of approach closer to signing day, I think the one guy that I'm keeping an eye on is the tight end Keon Zipper. I think Florida right now is the team to beat. I feel pretty comfortable saying that, but he will visit Miami this coming weekend, another team that is Florida's biggest competition. I know he really likes Coach Hartley, the tight end coach at Miami. So, I'm keeping an eye on this visit, but for right now, I feel good about the Gators. For Summerall, I also really like Florida a lot, too. I think the scheme fit is really something that's appealing to him. We saw the viral pictures of he and his father taking pictures in the jersey. I think that they really did a good job of kind of selling the family. Summerall has come to Florida quite a few times over the last year, but his father has only been there once for the little cookout that they had back in the spring. So, it was good for him to get back and get to, kind of get acclimated with everything. So, I do think that Florida is a team to beat for both. They're saying a package deal. I think in their mind they may, I'm not saying that they're absolutely not going to end up at the same school, but I don't think it's as dead set as what, a package deal you'd think. I think I could see them both end up at different schools. I could see them end up at the same schools. I don't necessarily think that it's, a concrete type of thing that it's, they're absolutely going to the same school together. I think ideally they'd like that, but if something works out better for one or the other, they're going to go, you know, they're going to take that route. You know, they're not going to let, you know, one guy make their decision for them. Another guy at Lakeland, too, it's actually a Lakeland trio. They're going to have a four-star offensive lineman at Diaby Hammond on campus this weekend. Really like Florida for him as well. So Florida can really pull off this sweep of getting three guys in this class alone. I think two out of three could happen, too. Like I said, I feel really good about Hammond. I feel really good about Summerall. Zipper, I feel good about right now, but I don't think that that's a concrete, not as good as I feel about the other one, so to say.
Blake, you mentioned Hammond there, and it would be another offensive lineman commit for the Gators if they were to get him when it was all said and done. It's pretty dead set and pretty clear Florida really wants to shore up that position.
Absolutely. You know, I think that they really look like they need some help there. You know, I think that it was a unit that started playing a lot better as the season kind of went on. But, you know, they're going to probably lose some guys to graduation. I know Juwan Taylor is one guy that, you know, he could leave to go early to the NFL if he chose to. So, you know, that they're really going to need some guys to kind of fill in this. And I think that that seems to be kind of the focal point of their class going forward. Six guys now in the class now. Obviously, Hammond is the one that they can add. Leading up to the early signing period, that the official visit this weekend will be kind of big there to, you know, kind of let his parents see everything. But, yeah, you know, offensive line is definitely a position they want to fill. You know, have a lot of guys on there. But I feel like John Hevesy has been the guy on the Florida staff that has worked the hardest this recruiting season. I feel like the guy is in home in a different state every other day. So, you know, he's definitely putting in some work trying to finish up his class.
Absolutely there. Blake Tyreek Stevenson made his way to campus over the weekend as well. And we know the Gators look in great shape for Chris Steele and hopefully Kyrie Elam as well when it's all said and done there. Have also targeted Marcus Banks, had him on campus this past weekend as well. Already have Jadon Hill and Chester Kimbrough in the fold as cornerbacks as well as far as being committed. Did the Gators get back in it with Stevenson? And how might the numbers work out there?
You know, I think that they have done a good job of getting back in there. I think that Mel Tucker leaving Georgia and Manny Diaz being linked to the Temple head coaching job can help Florida even more. But, you know, I think heading into the visit, they had a lot of work to do. And I think that, you know, heading out of the visit, I think that Florida wouldn't be my pick, so to say, right now. You know, I don't know how things are going to play out over the next 9-8 days, something like that, whatever it is leading up to signing day. But right now, I think Florida did a good job of impressing him. I think that it was a pretty distant, far off from being at his top two. It's been Miami and Georgia forever, and then it was kind of a big group of everyone after that. I think Florida's done a good job of kind of shortening that gap, getting themselves into play, but there still is a lot of things that need to play out here. Georgia, he really likes them a lot. He's visited. It's Kirby Smart's defense. Eventually, you know, when it all plays out and you look at the grand scheme of things, but there's always that question of, who's going to be the DC? Who's going to be there? There's nobody there now. I think that they need to get somebody in there and figure out what they're going to do there. You know, in Miami, obviously, if they lose their defensive coordinator, that's going to be a big thing. He will officially visit Miami this weekend, and I'm sure that's going to be one of the biggest topics of discussions for him, and he's going to want some answers for that question. So, you know, I think that Florida did a good job of moving back into picture here. They're certainly setting themselves up in striking distance with all these questions of coordinators at these other schools, but there's still a lot of things that need to play out.
Absolutely. I definitely agree there. One guy I'd like to have in the fold, but not necessarily sure. Gators have made up enough ground there. I just brought up Kyrie Elam. He's coming off of a visit to Miami. Now he's going to be waiting until February to sign, but did Miami make up ground to throw themselves into the mix for Florida and Georgia?
You know, I think that they've thrown themselves into the mix, but I'm not ready to say that they're still sitting at the kids' table for me. We're not sitting at the adults' table yet. So, you know, I think that they're in it. They've certainly made a charge here over the last couple weeks, you know, going in home with him a lot. They've been talking with him a lot. They obviously convinced him to take an official visit. I don't think that this recruitment is really going to be interesting until January. Whenever that contact period opens back up, he starts taking some official visits. I feel right now, I think Florida and Georgia are the two main schools in there for me, that are really ones that he's looking at. I think Miami, I think Florida State is in there as kind of a second tier school, if you will. But you know, I still think Florida and Georgia are the two big ones here. Again, this is another guy kind of going back to Tyreek Stevenson. Georgia doesn't have a defensive coordinator, and that's one of his bigger recruiters there. That was one of the guys he has a really good relationship with. So, you know, he's going to have a lot of questions for there, too. I would hope by the time he takes an official in January that, you know, they would have a defensive coordinator in there. So, it's still, you know, Georgia's still not quite out of the woods. They've got to figure out some things, and you know, they can get him on campus again. He took an unofficial visit for a game and really liked it, brought his mom, brought his dad. So, you know, Florida, he's been there a lot. The official will be big. I think Florida has the lead right now only because the Mel Tucker departure. I think Georgia has been the leader for a while, but that loss, obviously, has left a lot of questions for him. So I really like Florida right now. But, again, this is going to be a recruitment that really, really heats up in January leading up to February.
All right, Blake Alderman from Swamp 24/7 joining me here on Gators Breakdown. Blake, five-star running back Trey Sanders will be making his way to campus this weekend to visit Florida, coming off of a trip to Georgia where the Bulldogs, you know, they have some confidence that they have given him something to think about at least. Two things here. Do you really think he hasn't made up his mind already towards Alabama? And are he and offensive lineman Evan Neal as much of a package deal as some think?
You know, I'm not quite sure if they're a package deal. You know, I think that they have a lot of similar schools, so they could end up at the same school. But again, it's not like, you know, oh, well, if you go here, I'm going there. I don't think it's quite like that. I think at the end of the day, they're going to make the best decision for them. Could it be at the same school? Yes. I don't think it's, you know, necessarily planned to go that way. But, you know, he will go to Florida this weekend. I agree with you. I think Georgia gave him something to think about this past weekend. At all accounts, it seems like that visit went really well. I think the departure of Mike Locksley from Alabama has sort of given him some questions, too, because, again, it's always, you know, Nick Saban is at Alabama. Alabama is going to run like a well-oiled machine with Nick Saban is there. But it's always the question of who's the coach? Who's going to be calling the plays? Who's going to be, you know, is the offense going to change? There's a lot of questions that pop in these guys' minds. So I think that that's sort of what's happening now as they creep closer to the early signing day, and he's going to be an early enrollee. You know, he's going to want to know who's there. So I think that it's sort of cracked the door. I felt very confident for the longest time that he's going to Alabama. But this obviously has thrown a little bit of a twist into there. Florida can make a big press this weekend. They have his brother as a preferred walk-on on the team now. I'm sure he's going to spend a ton of time with him. You know, he's been to Florida for a game twice this season to watch his brother there. So I think Florida is in there. They're in striking distance. They need the visit to go well. Get him there, you know, kind of show him, you know, this is how life could be while you're on campus with your brother here. So I think that Florida has a lot of things in their corner with this visit coming this weekend. But I do think a lot of things, too, is, you know, everyone is still chasing Alabama there, I think. I think, despite the questions, I think Alabama is still at the top. Alabama has been keeping another running back in DJ Williams out of Sebring Warren. I've been waiting to see if they offer DJ. I think if they offer DJ Williams over at Alabama, I think that that means they don't feel as confident on Trey Sanders. And obviously with a couple of days left till the dead period ends, they haven't offered him yet. So that's kind of the thing I'm keeping an eye on. Georgia made a big press this weekend. Florida has a really good chance to make a big press this weekend, but I still think everyone's chasing Alabama.
And Trey Sanders might be, this next question I want to ask you, and maybe we can shed some light on, he might fall into this category, but is there a surprise commit for this early signing period? Who could you see that being with all the recent visits, the upcoming visits? You know, not necessarily saying this guy will end up in the class, but is there one maybe we should just keep an eye out for?
You know, I think Sanders is probably the guy if I had to pick one. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that, you know, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to be in the class. Watch out for it. But I think that with all these questions kind of late, you know, the thing with Tyreek Stevenson and Akir Elam is, you know, their head coaches, you know, it's their defense. You know, it's, you know, with Georgia and Tyreek, you know, it's Kirby Smart's defense, regardless if Mel Tucker's gone. You know, he's kind of the defensive scheme there. So, and it's kind of on the other foot with Sanders is, you know, that's the offensive coordinator. You know, that's your play caller. That's, you know, kind of the focal point of the offense. So I think that that's kind of the thing where there's more realistic questions, if you will, there. And I think that that could be the guy to maybe slide into the class and be like a surprise guy, maybe, if you will. But, you know, I don't think it's a dead set thing that he's going to end up at Florida. You know, don't quote me. Oh, well, Blake said this, but you know, I do think that, you know, they have a real chance there. And I don't think it's just a trip, you know. I think that there's real legitimate interest.
Yeah, Blake, it's weird how this early signing periods turn out. You know, Florida's going to be bringing a lot of their numbers for their whole class. You know, will be decided probably by, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in that whole early signing period. And you know, it doesn't really leave a whole – if they get a lot of their targets, doesn't really leave a whole lot of room when February rolls around.
Absolutely. You know, I think that in a couple of days, we're going to have a really good idea of, you know, where Florida's class is, I think. It's a big bulk of them. You know, I think all but maybe a small handful of commits are not planning to sign early. So there's definitely some questions there, you know, that they're going to see, you know, you always wonder why a guy isn't signing early, but, you know, some guys, you know, want to take some visits and, you know, this, that, and the other. I know Riley Simon's one of them, just wants to sign with his teammates in February all together as one. So, you know, I do think that they're going to have an idea of where things kind of stand right now. The one question that I think we're going to have linger over into maybe the January contact period is, you know, what is Florida going to do along the defensive line? Because right now I feel really good that they can flip four-star defensive end Derek Hunter, who will sign early and is working still on enrolling early, so I think he's waiting on a test score. I think they have a really good shot to flip him. But then, you know, they've got a lot of guys that are not planning to sign early that they have on their board that they're trying to flip. You know, Nathan Pickering, the four-star defensive end committed to Mississippi State. You've got Jaron Handy, another four-star committed to Auburn. You know, a couple guys like that along the defensive line that Florida's going to have to flip, and they're, you know, certainly taking their shot and they're going to try to. So I think that that's the biggest storyline for me in January, at least right now, off the top of my head, is, you know, they've got a lot of defensive line guys that they're going to try to flip. So, I mean, I think that they're going to continue to kind of press those guys into January. So, but, you know, overall, I think we're going to have a really good idea. More, you know, the large majority of this class is going to be done in December and signed, done, and over with.
All righty, and the Gators class will be, it'll be fighting for a top 10 finish, Blake, but it seems the positive mojo from this 9-3 season that the Gators just had and still working towards that 10th win against Michigan, but it really kind of seems maybe the positive mojo from the 9-3 season could be paying off for these 2020 and 2021 class.
Absolutely, and I think you look how quick the 2021 class, I feel like, you know, for a minute it was nobody in there, and you blink your eye, and I think, what is there, 3 or 4 commits in there now? For 2020, or excuse me, there is for 2021 class in there. 2020 obviously picking up. The thing about the 2020 class, I think that's really interesting, is that in a lot of areas that have been kind to Florida, well, it's pro Florida areas, are really loaded. You know, guys right outside of campus, Florida's done a really good job of getting guys in those, you know, Ocala, you know, Marion County kind of guys right around the campus. You know, Tampa has some guys, you know, really favorable areas where Florida can, you know, truly try to make a run in 2020. So I think 2020 is shaping up to be a really good class. And that is coming off of these guys didn't know how Florida's going to look. You see a 9-3, you know, 10-3 season there. Definitely catches some eyes. If Florida backs things up with another really good season next year, I think that the 2020 class can be really special.
Blake, I know it's busy with all the recruiting stuff going on, so I can't thank you enough for joining me here. Well, what you guys got coming up on Swamp 24/7 in the next week or so?
Oh, man, everything and anything. You know, we're going to be setting up, you know, the practices open. There's some open practices this weekend in Gainesville for the Florida-Michigan Bowl game, so we'll have tons of stuff there. Obviously, official visitors. This past weekend, we're still cranking out a couple more things. You know, this weekend there's going to be another batch of official visitors. The coaches are still on the road hitting their trail hard. You know, they're been in a living room or at a high school for the last, what, like 16 days, you know, straight hitting the recruiting trail. So they're still at it. You know, we'll have lots of updates on where you can find the coaches around the country and in the state of Florida. Official visitors this coming weekend. So it's a really busy time here on Swamp 24/7.
All right. That's Blake Alderman from Swamp 24/7 joining me here on Gators Breakdown. Blake, thank you so much.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so as of this recording, you know, we'll talk some more recruiting here, but as of this recording, the Gators are ranked 20th in the nation in recruiting with 18 commits. That is good for 10th in the SEC a week before early signing period, 10 4-stars, 8 3-stars. And I'm going to hit on a few topics before I go here, and that I'm sure will also be talked about in the next week or so when Florida gets their signees and the new guys come rolling in to be Gators. And I want to go back to this past weekend, and a lot of people were kind of worried because it wasn't out there and publicized that Florida got commitments from this past weekend. But look, that was expected. A lot of the targets that Florida is going after, especially that Lakeland duo, you know, a lot of people wanted to kind of come out of that weekend with those guys in the fold, but those guys were always going to wait until they took this last trip to Miami coming up this weekend, and sign in the early signing period. They weren't going to make anything public. It was really expected that. Now, would you have liked to maybe blow them away so much that you come out of that and they don't take that trip to Miami? Yeah, but nobody really ever thought that was going to be the case. Nobody would thought that was that could really happen. So I do not take it as a negative at all that Florida didn't come out of the weekend with some public commits. Now, I have no idea. Did any of them give a silent to Florida and the staff? Even if they did, I'm not very high on silent commitments, and they don't usually look this close to the finish line. They do probably mean a whole lot more than if you get a silent commitment back in April or May. But still, public commitments are a little stronger. You know, probably not much stronger, not that much stronger, but still a little stronger than these silent commits. Did Florida get any this past weekend? I don't know. They could have, but. You know, don't feel too good about silence just in general, but this close to the finish line, this close to early signing period, a commitment would be stronger. But I don't think it means that they're not coming. I still think Florida is in pretty good shape there when it's all said and done with those two guys and some of the targets the commitments that Florida already has were going after this past weekend. So don't take it as a negative sign that this past weekend. We come out of the visits, and on Monday, Tuesday, we haven't heard anything about guys being in the fold. They were going to wait, and we'll see. We'll see some of those guys, I'm sure, sign with the Gators during this early signing period that starts next week. Another popular topic going around is the Florida-Georgia recruiting gap right now. And we know, it can't continue. We know that, but Georgia gets another five-star offensive lineman this week, and Georgia has 19 commits right now, 4 five-stars, 13 four-stars. That's 17 of the 19 that are four-stars and five-stars for this Georgia Bulldogs team, your biggest division and conference rival. Yes, Kirby still has much to learn as a game day coach. But you're seeing him to be able to compete for titles just based on the talent that he's bringing in. So go back to this past year's Florida-Georgia game, and the prevailing thought was Mullen outcoached Kirby. And we heard that a lot from the Gator side. Some, even national writers had went that far as well. And look, that may be true. And I know CJ Henderson was at that game as well, but it was talent that ultimately that was the difference in that game. Mullen will close the gap somewhat when he gets his style of guys. But to consistently have a 50-50 shot or better at beating Georgia, winning the East, competing for conference in the college football playoff consistently, Florida's going to have to start getting the top 100 4-stars and 5-star players that are out there. Coaching can only get you so far, and talent can only get you so far. You got to have the combo no matter how good of a coach you are. And look, I know it's an uphill battle, and it won't happen overnight. I knew that from the get-go. This class is going about as I expected, especially after the slow start that it got off to. But you look at the 24/7 sports rankings right now, and the top 4 teams in the rankings, Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, LSU, 4 SEC teams at the top with a week to go before the early signing period. Now 2 of those Florida plays every year in Georgia and LSU, and then you'll have to deal with either Alabama, LSU, or Texas A&M in the SEC championship game. If you get that far. Now, this isn't to say it can't be done. That's never what we're saying on here, and that's not what I'm saying. But to consistently win big, take the path of least resistance. And I think the Gators can get there with a good base in this class and hopefully some surprises in the next week or so, in a couple months leading into February, to go along with great starts in the 20 and 2021 class. I can't say this enough. The Gators have the right X's and O's coach in Dan Mullen. They absolutely have that part. Now, let's compare it with some top talent, and I think we really got something special. Dan Mullen is a great coach, and I firmly believe that. But if you want to go compete, you want to start winning titles, let's pair some great coaching with some great talent. And, Florida will be back to where we expect them to be. Florida will be back, sooner in 2-3 seasons there. I know it's not going to happen overnight. And, there's a lot of thought out there. It's got to happen quick because it does. A lot of the time you see quick results out of the best that the SEC has had to offer. Urban Meyer come in and win the SEC and national championship his second year. Nick Saban going competing and having an undefeated regular season in his second year. You know, those are guys that maybe fairly, unfairly, you're going to get compared to. You know, Kirby Smart is winning the SEC in his second year. A lot of coaches come in here and you know kind of right away if they're going to be ultimately be successful. And I'm not saying Mullen has to go win the SEC or make a college football playoff spot next year. But, you know, I think we'll see. We'll see tangible progress that makes us feel that Dan Mullen can continue to be the guy on the trail, on the field. I think we're seeing it in the 2020-2021 class. Guys are getting excited for this Gator finish or for this Gator recruiting. And the finish that the Gators had for this season, going 9-3 and a chance for 10 wins. So I think that the pieces are in place for the Gators to start being what we want them to be. So hopefully a great finish to finish close to the top 10. Maybe when it's all said and done for this 2019 class, and let's go ahead and get this 2020-2021 class back to the Gator standard as well. In recruiting. So, thoughts of a top 10 finish as well. You know, it's not going to happen unless you get Elam, Sanders, Summerall, Zipperer. You know, if you want to firmly set yourself in the top 10, you're going to have to get all those guys there. So, we'll see how it plays out in the next week or so. You know, we'll have to wait on Elam until February, but Sanders, Summerall, Zip, hey, they all could be Gators in the next week or so, and that definitely sets up Florida for a big top 10 finish and a surge at the end of getting guys in and making a statement during the early signing period and heading into National Signing Day in February. So gonna wrap it up here and finish it up for this episode. Big thanks to Blake Allerman from Swamp 24/7. Go check those guys out. They'll have you covered for all the recruiting info out there. It will be a busy time this next week or so. Speaking of next week, we'll have we'll be reviewing the big visit weekend is coming up. We'll review this weekend as well, and then we're working on it. We'll have Bill Sykes on next week to kind of joining Will Miles and I looking back at what happens on early signing period. So be on the lookout for that next week, and we'll have coverage that all day on that Wednesday when early signing period starts. That's all I'll be concentrating on that day. So look out for some Periscopes, tweets out there. I know a lot of you already follow me on Twitter. But, we'll have plenty of coverage here on Gators Breakdown to get you guys reviewed for who the Gators are bringing in to be Gators. And I know a lot of you will be excited to hear from Bill and everything he brings and his thoughts on recruiting out there as well. So be on the lookout for that next week as far as Gators Breakdown goes. Now, I'm the host of Gators Breakdown, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.